The president offered the ending of wars in Afghanistan and Iraq as part of his positive legacy this week, and he noted the number of U.S. airstrikes in Syria and Iraq against ISIS as an argument that the U.S. is using its military power in a measured way to keep that conflict in check. But Ali Kaderi, chairman and chief executive of Dragoman Partners, who served as special assistant to five American ambassadors in Iraq and was with U.S. Central Command from 2003 to 2010, says the measure of U.S. accomplishment in the region is pitiful by his reckoning, and he says he wouldn't be surprised if it is Iran that soon claims mission impossible in a transformed Middle East.
We burned through $1 trillion during the Iraq War, 4,500 American dead, 35,000 wounded, and frankly walked away with nothing at the end of the day, largely because of a precipitous troop withdrawal and a lack of follow-through with diplomacy and ensuring that we had a viable partner on the ground in Iraq. Unfortunately, I think the president is now trying to largely ignore the Middle East, as demonstrated by his lack of focus on it in the State of the Union. And I think that's going to continue to come back to haunt him as Libya implodes into a full-blown civil war. Same in Yemen, same in Syria, same in Iraq. And frankly, Afghanistan is teetering as well. Ignoring the cancer as it metastasizes is going to eventually lead to conditions resulting in another 9/11 potentially.
Do you think Iran has exploited this divided, kind of chaotic silo situation that you describe in U.S. policy? And, you know, the president has spoken about the nuclear successes that the U.S. has had in negotiating with Iran. Does that forget about the fact that Iran's profile in destabilizing the Middle East has increased almost since 9/11?
Absolutely. Iran has been the primary beneficiaries of our invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan because by taking out the Taliban and Saddam Hussein, we eliminated Iran's two main rivals, the two regimes that were physically containing Iran on the Eastern Front and on the Western Front. So what's happened since 2001 and 2003 is the Iranians have spilled over the borders in Afghanistan. They've spilled over the borders in Iraq. They now have a direct land bridge through Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to the Israeli border. And as we saw several days ago, the Israeli Defense Forces had to take action with a missile strike, and they ended up killing an Iranian general and several senior Hezbollah officers because they believed that those individuals were involved in planning a terrorist attack on Israel. So that's sort of a tactical example. What's happened strategically is Iran has now fully penetrated all elements of Iraqi society and government. They now have paid agents across political parties, senior members of the Iraqi cabinet, the military, cultural institutions, media, religious institutions. And frankly, I think, strategically speaking, we've now lost Iraq for at least decades, maybe a century or two, because the Iranians have so deeply penetrated that society. And that's problematic for a reason that nobody is yet focused on in the West. Think of Iraq as the next Lebanon, and think of the Iraqi militias as the next Hezbollah, in that Iraq is several times larger than Lebanon physically and demographically. And there are now dozens of militias that operate exactly like Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is one of the world's, again, leading terrorist organizations, which has blown up American embassies, which has helped kill U.S. troops. And after they deal with the Sunni insurgency, I am quite certain and terrified that the Iranian-backed militias are going to focus towards some of our regional allies, namely the Gulf Arab countries, in their desire to help pave the way for Iranian hegemony across the Middle East. With respect to the nuclear program, that's also very serious and something that the president glossed over during the State of the Union. The Iranians have been beavering away on a nuclear program for a couple of decades now. They say that it's for peaceful purposes, but if you had a peaceful nuclear energy program, you would do what the United Arab Emirates has done, which is bring in international investors, bring in international contractors, and build a reactor peacefully, very transparently. What the Iranians have done instead is bury their program across a dozen different facilities, most of which have been covert. Their tactical successes across Iraq and Syria and Lebanon have only emboldened them further, and they view the president's numerous letters to the Iranian supreme leader or his recent outreach to Cuba as signs of weakness. That's how Iranians view it. And so I think they feel quite emboldened to press forward further. And in fact, the Iranian supreme leader announced over the summer that the Iranians are developing a ballistic missile program, which will have intercontinental ballistic missile capability and potentially one day with nuclear warheads. So the situation is very, very dangerous. And I think, again, the administration is glossing over things. And one day we're going to wake up, as occurred with North Korea, and we're going to see a mushroom cloud on the horizon. That's not hyperbole. That's just the trajectory of the situation.
Would you say that Iran's influence in the militia in Iraq is a story that's being repeated now in Yemen?
Absolutely. I mean, the developments in Yemen for the past several years have been very disturbing. I visited Yemen to meet with President Ali Abdullah Saleh several times, with General David Petraeus, General John Allen, and others from CENTCOM. And Yemen always struck us as much more dangerous than even Iraq, because it's sort of another Afghanistan right there on the Arabian Peninsula, a few hundred kilometers away from Mecca, the holiest city in Islam. Yemen has 30 million people, is running out of water, is running out of oil, is sort of another Somalia, and thus it's been a major hotbed for al-Qaeda activity. In fact, several of the major terrorist attacks that were planned by al-Qaeda were either orchestrated or financed or otherwise organized by al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula based in Yemen. So Yemen is very dangerous. And what the Iranians have done there is, again, what they've done similarly to Iraq and Afghanistan. They've found a local proxy, the Houthi rebels, and they have been working with them for about 5 years now, spending billions of dollars to support them in their quest to take over the government. Well, they succeeded several months ago, and as of several days ago, they had overrun the presidential palace and basically are staging a coup, thereby threatening one of our top regional allies, Saudi Arabia. And I know many folks in your audience have no love lost for Saudi Arabia, but believe me, if you think the Saudis are bad, wait to see if something comes after them. It'll be much, much worse, and a major threat to regional stability, global energy prices, and our own national security. Because we've seen in places like Yemen, Libya, Iraq, or Syria, or Afghanistan, if there is a vacuum, if a government falls, what always fills it is these transnational terrorist organizations and jihadi groups.
Ali Kaderi is chairman and chief executive of Dragoman Partners. He served as special assistant to 5 American ambassadors in Iraq and as senior advisor to 3 heads of the Central Command from 2003 to 2010. Ali, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.